You're listening to the Bible teachings of Reality Stockton as we go through our series entitled Spiritual Rhythms, Discovering the Rhythms of Grace. For more info, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. You guys awake? Yeah? Okay. Well, it is an absolute pleasure to be here with you guys today. I've been gone for a couple of weeks and I missed you guys desperately. So I'm just rejoicing that I get to be with you guys. If you have your Bible, let's go ahead and open up to Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to ask that we do something a little bit different today. We want to hold God's word in high esteem, right? Amen. So can we stand together while I read this passage? So that's Philippians 4, and we're going to read verses 4 through 7. Okay, so it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. You can sit down if you want. Heavenly Father, how great and how mighty you are. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together in your Son's name this morning and read your words. It is absolute grace that you have revealed yourself in your scriptures, Lord. So we praise you for them. God, I pray for humility for my heart this morning. God, I pray for humility for the church, for all of us together, Lord, that we would receive your words with humility, that we would not receive them with critical thoughts. Lord, we would be able to utilize everything in your word for the glory of your name and for the joy of us as your people. We praise you, God, that you have called us together. It is for your glory that we're here today. So be glorified in this time. In Jesus' holy and precious name, as church said, amen. Well, like I said, you guys, I've been gone for a few weeks, and it is just, you have no idea. I mean, vacation's great, but it's greater to be back with family. And so I just can't say enough how much I missed you guys, how much I love you guys, how nice it is to get razzed by some of you for missing a few weeks and then popping right up here to teach. But glory to God. So over the past couple of weeks, we started about 2 weeks ago, we started a new series, as Pastor Christian mentioned, called Spiritual Rhythms. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about the importance of the Word of God in our daily lives. We saw that we get to hear from God when we open up our Bibles. Amen? And I say amen a lot, so jump right in there with me, guys. It's okay. It means you agree. And so last week we saw the daily necessity of worshiping God, of praising God. And then today we're gonna look at the daily rhythm or the spiritual discipline, if you will, of praying to God. The rhythm of communicating with God through our words. And so we see in God's word that he's communicating to us, we see the response in our prayer. We get to communicate back to God in our prayer. And so, it's worth mentioning, and I'm sure that Pastor Christian already has, but it's worth reminding us that none of these disciplines, for the most part, none of these disciplines or rhythms are perfect, or they're not going to be complete if you are just doing them in your daily lives. They're not going to be complete if you just do them corporately. This is things that are both personal and corporate. And so prayer is no exception. I'd say prayer is even more so something that you should be doing every day, but it's also something you should be doing when you gather together. So I just want to encourage us in that direction. And this is I'll be honest with you guys, this is a big topic to tackle. And so I'm going to approach this with humility, knowing that I'm not going to answer all the questions, right? If you guys are waiting for me to answer your questions, then we're in big trouble. I'm going to refer mostly to God's word, and the things that aren't of God's word, ignore or forget. Okay? So today I just want to key in on three things. I want to be very intentional with the limited time we have today. We want to key in on why we pray and on the other side of that, why we don't pray. We'll look at when do we pray, and we're going to look at how we pray. Okay, so if you guys have been here for any number of months, you know that we just finished going through the book of Genesis. And we started at the beginning of the year, and we just completed about 3 weeks ago. And so you probably, if you just grew up in church, you remember the story of creation. In Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we see upon creating human beings in Adam and Eve that God openly communicated with them in the beginning of Genesis. You see him giving man responsibilities. You see him giving man commandments. You see that there is a communication between God and man. And then we know how the story goes, right? But we'll get to that. So what it's important to recognize is that as human beings, we were created with the intent to know God. We were created to know God. Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24 say, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Let him who boasts boast of this, that he knows and understands me. We were created to know God. And then we remember in the story that sin enters, that Adam and Eve, they disobey God. They're given basically free reign over all creation, just don't touch this one thing. And so man does what we often do, and they do the one thing they're told not to do. And so sin enters the world, and the result, the consequence of that would be guilt and shame and ultimately death. Genesis chapter 3 says that, then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. See, they knew. And so their immediate reaction to the presence of God was to hide from it. They heard God coming and they hid themselves. And so we're gonna take a quick look at that. Because we see in Genesis that we're created to have an access and a relationship with God. And we see that sin enters the equation by way of Adam and Eve's disobedience, severing the once intimate relationship with God. And through sin, they separate themselves essentially from glory. And we see, and if we're honest, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, maybe this is just me, but I think that this would apply to all of us, that we put ourselves in that same position a lot. That as Christians, as redeemed people, we still struggle with that garden mentality. When we sin, when we fall short, when we mess up, our immediate reaction is to be overcome by shame and try to hide ourselves from the presence of God. We do exactly what Adam and Eve did. You see, there's a great and there's a real fear in seeing our own unrighteousness when it's compared to God's righteousness. When we see the difference in the separation between unrighteous and perfect holy righteousness that only God has, it strikes a certain sense of awe and fear. It's intimidating. The great prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, he recounted a story of a vision that he had. And it says in chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Exclamation point. It's full of his glory. It's a declaration. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, and this is Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah, saying, Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. For I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And this is why I didn't use a music stand, because I do that a lot. And so the thing that we need to recognize is that the great prophet Isaiah, when coming face to face with the righteousness of God, his response is, woe is me, I am unclean. And so we need to see that these, when we talk about these spiritual rhythms, or like I said, I like to call them spiritual disciplines, so don't be fearful of that word, but they're completely grace-induced. It's completely by God's grace. And that's what separates moralism from being disciplined. We're not making ourselves better by doing these things. We're getting to know God better through doing these things. It's a disciplined part of our lives. Because even with all the brokenness and separation that we experience due to our sin or because of our sin, God in Christ has made a way for us. Okay? So I know that I, in myself, am a man of unclean lips, and I'm standing at a pulpit looking at a room full of people of unclean lips, just like me. That's me in myself. And those are the key words. Those are words that are worth remembering. In myself, I'm a man of unclean lips. But if you have put your faith in Christ, believing that he atoned for your sins in his death, and that he has given you new life in his resurrection, then you no longer stand in yourself. You stand in Christ. That's where our identity is. That's where we approach the throne of grace from. And so me even knowing and understanding that, and I just explained that briefly to everybody in this room. And so we all know it with our head, but when your heart understands that, that's God's grace revealing that to you. Okay, so it's grace induced. All of this is just by God's sheer grace. In fact, the Apostle Paul put it greatly in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not because of our great infinite worth. It's because of God's great infinite worth. That's grace. That's us being saved by grace through faith, right? Okay. So now I know some of you guys are like sitting there like, oh, wow. A reality pastor walking us slowly through the gospel. Big surprise, right? And it's repetitive. And, you know, we hear this a lot. And there's a reason for that. It's because we are proud and we are forgetful, and we need to be reminded of this stuff. I need to be reminded daily. I need to be reminded in every prayer that I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, my mediator. See, we were created to know God. And again, later in Galatians in chapter 4, he says, formerly when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known, or some would say even more importantly when he says, or rather be known by God. It's a two-way relationship. How can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? So we were meant to know God, and we were meant to be known by God. Like, that's a relational thing. See, God knows everything, right? It's not a question of him knowing who you are, but knowing you on a personal basis, on a relational basis, is far different. That's a redeemed thing. So to know and be known and to love and be loved. Praise God for his grace. And so as a redeemed people, and it's worth mentioning that if you have not put your faith in Christ, you're not redeemed. And so what I've said up to this point is worth you taking a second look at. It's worth you paying attention to. Because none of us are worthy of glory on our own merit. All of us have sinned and all of us fall short. And like I said, if we're all honest with ourselves, then we recognize that there's something wrong inside of us. There's something wrong. I mean, before I was saved by God's grace, before I put my faith in Christ and all that he has accomplished, I experienced heavy guilt. I still struggle with it. But there's something inside of us, some will call it a conscience, that when we mess up, when we do things that are immoral, there's a reason that you feel guilt. And that's called God's amazing grace on your life. So pay attention to this stuff if you have not put your faith in Christ. But for those of us that have put our faith in Christ, we are now redeemed people. And so as redeemed people, why do we pray? And so we know that according to what he has revealed to us of himself in Scripture, that we could very easily, and actually I'm going to say it, we pray because he said to, right? It's an obedience thing. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And then we all know 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we probably all recite it together. Pray without ceasing, right? And then even Luke 18, verse 1, as Jesus is telling the parable of the persistent widow. And this parable reminds me of even me as a parent. When you're, like, I'll be sitting on the couch and my kids, I've got like a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. And sometimes I'm not super interested in what they're saying. You know, I'll be honest, yeah, right? But children have this insane ability to keep saying, dad, 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 until finally, out of frustration, I'll say, what? Right? It's not even a gracious response. It's like just out of sheer frustration, you just finally will respond. And Jesus tells this story of persistence and how much greater God is in his response to us, because he doesn't respond the way that we respond, but he definitely responds to persistence. And he told them a parable to the effect that they... Am I really? That's the timer that tells me when my time's up. There's no way. Are you serious? Okay, so he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And so we as Christians have been made to be a praying people. And it all comes back to knowing and being known by God. Amen? It's how relationships work. If you want to know somebody and you want them to know you, you're going to make that communication a priority. Amen? And so it essentially comes back to our priorities, how we prioritize our life. How important is our relationship with God? You see, God, he's not a cruel taskmaster. He desires to know you. And we have this insane desire inside of us that's only by God's grace that we desire to know him, right? Okay, so now if you've ever been to pre-service prayer, oftentimes we'll pray through different books in the Psalms, and the reason that I would mention that right now is because if you want to see when a good time to pray is, read through the entire book of Psalms, because those guys, mostly David, man, he frustrated with God. You know what he did? He prayed. Rejoicing in all that God had given him. You know what he did? He prayed. Pleading with God to change his circumstance, you know what he did? He prayed. So there wasn't a lot of issues in David's life that he wouldn't go to pray. And so we need to be a praying people, because that's how we get to interact with our God. That needs to be a daily pattern in our lives. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He made it an absolute priority in his life, and we need to be doing the same in our lives. Now, I'm going to be skipping through some stuff because I have exceeded my time somehow. And so now how do we pray without ceasing? Right? How do we continually be in prayer when we have normal things we have to do? How am I praying right now while I'm talking to you guys? Donald Whitney, in his book that Pastor Christian was plugging, put it this way. He said, you might think of praying without ceasing as communicating with God on one line while also taking calls on another. Even while you are talking on the other line, you never lose your awareness of the need to return your attention to the Lord. So praying without ceasing means you never really stop conversing with God. You simply have frequent interruptions. So now it sounds really simple and really basic, and I know that it's practically working out. It's a lot more complicated than that. And it's not just so that we can be better Christians, but because we will begin to see and continue to see our absolute desperation and our dependence for God in our lives, the more that we are seeking his face. And so then, how do we pray? And this is going to be closing it out. How do we pray? Practically in our lives, one way that we grow in our prayer life and our daily prayer life is by planning to pray. Make plans to pray. You know, carve out a chunk of your day and devote it specifically to praying. I think it's D.A. Carson who said, at the end of the day, if you're too busy to pray, then you're too busy. Cut something out. So if our schedule doesn't allow us to spend time praying, then our schedule is messed up. Okay, our priorities are wrong. And so what we need to do is we need to evaluate where our priorities are. We need to evaluate where we're putting the most of our time. And if our time is not going vertically first and then looking at the horizontal, if it's not going to God first and then looking out to daily needs, then we've got everything backwards in our lives. So now, I can't believe I'm over my time. Even literally, Pastor Christian's shaking his head. Okay, I'm going to go for it. So let us look real quickly at the framework for how we pray. I'm going to look at just three quick aspects of how we pray. It's not going to be all-encompassing, you guys, so don't get upset if I'm missing things that you guys feel are super important to how we pray. But one thing that is absolutely important to how we pray is having reverence for God. Okay, we're enabled to address God as our great Father in heaven by the power of his Spirit, right? So hallowed and holy be his name. Great reverence and awe should accompany our approach to God, who in his amazing grace has adopted us and called us children of God. And so we are to seek and ask that his will be done in our prayers. That's the second thing that I wanted to talk about. When we are making petitions and requests in all of our prayers and all of our supplications, we are to seek his will over ours. We see Jesus in the garden saying, he's essentially saying, Father, if there's any other way for your will for this to be accomplished other than my death, then let it happen. And it wasn't because he was scared of death, but because he did not want to experience the wrath, right? But he says after that, the most significant part of that prayer, yet not my will, but yours be done. He taught us to pray that in the Lord's Prayer. Right? Your kingdom come, your will be done. And so we seek the will of God above our own will. And honestly, as we grow and as we mature and as we are sanctified by God's Spirit, our will start to align more with his. And where it doesn't, we'll start to be more okay with the fact that it doesn't, and we'll submit to it. Okay? The third and finally, we approach the throne of God's grace only with the confidence that we bear the name and, in effect, the righteousness, the right standing of Christ Jesus. See, we've gotten into the bad habit, church, not us specifically, but just Christianity in general. We've gotten into a bad habit of using the phrase in Jesus' name essentially like you're saying sincerely at the end of a letter. Okay? It's not just a send-off. In fact, I was talking to a brother yesterday that made the great point. Why don't you say that you're praying in the name of Jesus at the beginning of your prayer, right? Because Christ is our mediator, we're able to then draw with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace so we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, in our name, we're doomed, right? You want to approach God in your name? We'll be like Isaiah, woe is you if you're going to try and do that. But in Christ, we can call upon God as our Father, and he hears us as his children. See, and then in my notes it says, I know I'm over my time and hate feeling. So, underestimated my lack of brevity. So just want to encourage us to be a praying people. I know this was brief. The reason it was brief is because just talking about praying is not, it's not the most helpful thing to do, just to be like, okay, this is what you should do. Okay, now get out of here and go do it. Right? And so what we're going to be doing today is a little bit out of our comfort zone, it's a little bit out of our box. It's not what we normally do, but we're going to spend time as a church this morning praying. Okay? So we're going to have Deacon Matt's going to come up just to provide a little bit of mood music, if you will. But we're going to spend a few minutes just praying personally, praying individually, for ourselves, praying. There's gonna be some prayer points on the screen for us to follow along with, some scripture to be reading. But we just want to be real intentional with applying these things. This is important to our growth in Christ. This is important to our growth as a church, to be moving forward as a church in the grace of God. And so we don't want to just preach. We also want to practice. That is my snooze thing. So what we'll do is I'm going to close us in a brief prayer. We're going to spend some time praying, and then you guys will kind of know what to do after that. So bow your heads and pray with me to our great God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace today. We thank you that you have given us access to you through your Son. And we lift up anybody in here that does not yet know you, Lord. Pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would grant them faith through grace today, that you would call people to yourself today, Lord, that this time of personal prayer would be a time of salvation. It is that only you, the author of salvation, can bring it about, God. So we're seeking you for that right now, Lord. Be glorified.
Thanks for listening to the Reality Stockton podcast. If you've been blessed by this ministry, please consider giving financially. For more info on how to give, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.